Blog Talk Radio.
Introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. We have a change of pace show today. We got a very interesting show. We got a young lady, a drummer, a singer, and a songwriter by the name of Teddy Brunetti, and she's on the line. Hello, Teddy.
Hey, how are you tonight, Joe?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in. Now, a little bit about you. I'll tell you something. Listening to your stuff, I've been doing that all day long, and such as the Devil Woman and the Queen of Pittsburgh, and I guess you are very big in Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm from Pittsburgh, and I live here.
Yeah.
I don't know how big I am here, but people know me. Yeah. I actually did most of my music career in the 70s and 80s in New York City, so I'm almost better known there than here. You know, a few years back, because I've lived my life in stages, all right? I'm older. So, you know, my husband Jim Mason, he plays lead guitar with me. And we had a band in New York City for years, and we did different projects in New York, like I said, in the 70s and 80s, had a couple kids, and then came back to Pittsburgh to raise the kids, and I got out of the music business for almost 20-some years. And then about 10 years ago, I retired. I did ultrasound. I went back to school for ultrasound. So I've done the yin and yang of sound. And then we started a little blues cover band just to see if we wanted to do it again, and then... But I've always done my own music, so that got old quick enough, and now here I am with an album and videos and talking to you.
Let me ask you, when you say you were back in the 70s and 80s, have you ever played at the Blue Note?
Not at the Blue Note, but I played, you know, I played in rock bands, so I played like CBGBs, the Bitter End, places like that. You know,
so you
the Cat Club.
It,
do you remember the Cat Club?
Did you play at Max's Kansas City by any
yes.
chance?
Oh, yeah.
Love that club. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I was, I didn't draw too many sober breaths there, I'll tell you. Max's, what a great place, right?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was that era. Remember, I was at, I mean, the 70s and 80s in New York, that starving artist community, that was like the greatest thing ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When things were less complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And music was joyful, you know? I guess that era was a lot different than now.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm old enough to be these young people's grandmother, great-grandmother, you know. So, I mean, I don't know what they're doing nowadays, you know. But, you know, my music is blues-based and bluesy, jazzy, rock. I draw from all those influences that I grew up with. And so we have real musicians playing real instruments. It isn't coming out of a computer. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Well, I saw in one of the videos about you doing the drums and everything, and you really got at it.
Oh, well, thank you. I love drumming. As a matter of fact,
you know,
about 5 minutes ago, I'm sitting here, and I was going through my paces here on my drum pad. I'm sitting up in I have a loft. My husband and I live in a loft in downtown Pittsburgh. And I'm working through, I just got a new book. Steve Gadd, the drummer Steve Gadd, wrote his first instructional book. It's called Gaddaments. And I finally got a copy of it. So I'm working through that. And I'm working through another book that Joe Morello wrote. He wrote a couple instructional books. And so I'm working my hands. I'm trying to, you know, improve. But I'm a student of drumming, you know, and I always will be. I just love it.
The reason why I said that is because the way you were playing the drums in the video, it tends to, you know, we were playing, I think, 3 or 4 different drums at the same time and going back and forth, and the way you did it and everything is perfect. And it reminds me of, like I said, the Blue Note days and a few other things. Because that's why I asked you if you played there, because I actually did that once. A friend of mine got me on there for the drums. But that was just purely accident.
Nice.
But
nice. Other
than that, you're way ahead of me. But the point,
are you self-taught on the drum? Did you just pick up the sticks one day and just started tapping along?
Well, you know, not really. Actually, guitar was my first instrument. The drums possessed me. That's what I wanted to play. I was like 11 years old, and I went to a girlfriend's birthday party, and she had an older sister who was probably like 14 or 15, and that sister had a little Victrola record player, and she put on this single, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. And when that song came on, it shot through me like a bolt of lightning because the drums are so bombastic on that song. I still, it still gets me every time I hear it. And I was possessed. It was like a spiritual experience. And I went into that record player. I was like 11. And I just kept playing it over and over, that single. They had to drag me away from it. But I knew in those moments that this is what you do. And mind you, I'd never played a musical instrument, you know. This is what you do. You're a drummer. You're a musician. And this is what you're going to do. I just had, like, I don't know if you want to call it God talking to me or what, but something happened to me. And when I went home, I'm the oldest of 10 kids. So when I went home, I asked my parents if I could take drum lessons, and they said no. Maybe because it was 10 kids and they didn't want a drum set in the house. But that, actually, they said no because it was a boys' instrument. Okay? And so, you know, back in those days, that's how shit rolls.
Don't worry about the neighbors.
Yeah, but they said it was a boys' instrument. So I said, well, how about the next best thing to me was guitar? And they agreed to that. So I started taking guitar lessons, and I did really well. And they bought me somehow they scraped the money together, and they bought me a little Gibson acoustic guitar. I still have it, and that's what I write all my songs on. And so guitar was actually my first instrument. And then when I got a little bit older and I was able to get a job, I took my money and went to the mall, got on a bus, went to the mall, and signed myself up at the music store for drum lessons. And no one could believe that's what I was doing with my money. And I loved it from the very beginning, and I just played and played and played. And I ended up getting a scholarship for snare drum. Not a full scholarship, but I got a partial little scholarship to snare drum at Eastern Kentucky University under Dr. Donald Cooper. And I went to college as a music major, percussion major for a couple of years, and then I dropped out and went on the road with a band, met my husband in that band, and my dream was to go to New York City, so that's what we did, and, you know, the rest is history, really, you know. But,
since you're the oldest of 10 kids, do your brothers and sisters play music with you? Are they into that, your genre?
Well, it's funny. I have a brother a couple years younger than me. He's in New York, and he was a child prodigy classical pianist. He went to Carnegie Mellon University, and now he's a big vocal coach in Manhattan, has been for years and years. He wrote a book. His name is David Brunetti, and he wrote a book called Acting Songs, and he teaches all over the world. And he they use his book as a textbook in a lot of colleges and high schools in their theater programs, and he coaches, like, Broadway singers and people like that. And he's had quite a nice career. He has Parkinson's. And he can no longer play the piano. So that's another reason why I still practice so much, is because I know he would love to be able to still play the piano. And so I feel like I have a healthy, strong body, and I owe it to him and to myself and to everyone else to practice and become better and better at my drumming, you know, just because I'm able to, you know. It's because it's so sad that he can't.
It's important to you, and you know, and it's important to him. And you,
yeah.
And I'm sure you're very close with your brother.
Yeah, that brother. Then I have another brother, Ted. My brother Ted. Yes, my mother named two of us Ted. She would have been like George Foreman's wife and named everybody after my. Well, I'm named after my father. She loved my dad too much. But my brother Ted, he was Frankie Coffee Cake in A Bronx Tale on Broadway. He's an actor, producer, director, and so he was just on Broadway a few years ago, and he's in New York City, and all three of my brothers. My brother Joseph, who's on the Jersey Shore, they all have fine arts degrees. My baby sister, Anita, two of my sisters sang on this album with me. That was something when I was working that day gig. I used to fantasize about having, some of my sisters sing on a record with me, and have our son, James, who's a musician, play on the record. And I got to do that on this record, and that's... brings a smile to my face every time I hear it, you know, when I hear their voices on it and stuff. And my sister Anita, she's a pharmacist, but she could have been on Broadway. She has a gorgeous, gorgeous, legit voice. And she was actually the featured vocalist with the Wheeling Symphony, you know, when she got out of, when she was going to college, you know, when she got out of college. So, you know, she can really sing. And my sister Mary, who's a year younger than me, she sang on this album too, and she has a beautiful voice. I mean, people ask her to, she sings the Star Spangled Banner at football games and baseball games and that kind of stuff. So so that was a lot of fun to be able to have them on this album. And then on the Queen of Pittsburgh song, the guitar solo section, my husband starts the guitar solo. It's a father-son guitar solo. My husband is the king of these legato iconic guitar lines, and the solo begins that way. And then my son comes in with this crazy wah-wah, crazy. He just takes it out, and he just killed it. I mean, it's so great. And so, it was a really nice thing for me to have them there. And then, if you saw the video to Eat, Sleep, Repeat, we filmed some of that. My dad's in it. My dad just turned 94 on Sunday.
That was the dinner table with everybody together?
Yes. That's at my sister's house. She has a beautiful home, and my dad lives with her. And those are all my relatives there. Those are my sisters, my nieces, you know, nieces, nephews, my dad. Yeah, that's my family. So... that's a beautiful thing about recording. You know, to me, I approach my, you know, the CDs, the actual recordings and the videos as a fine artist who does sculpture or oil painting. That's what they are to me. They're sculptures and oil paintings because they're locked in time, a moment locked in time that I'll have forever, you know. And I can
and
go back
and
look at that.
Your father, your husband, you, your sister, your family, and your son.
Yeah.
So
oh,
that's a great memory.
Yeah, my little grandson Oliver is the little boy running around with the sparkler in there. So yeah, it's beautiful, right? So we'll have that.
It is.
We always can look back on that. And then it was
you don't see too much of that magic and music going on these days with generations of family and that closeness. And
no, everybody wants to put sparkly underwear on and sing.
yeah. You know, you're very nuclear, your family, you know. You're close. You're all in Pittsburgh. And that's wonderful. Since this goosh stuff with COVID seems to be chilling down, are you able to go out now and play again to the public?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, with this COVID thing, I don't do covers, so I'm not going to play the clubs around here. And Pittsburgh really isn't a big enough town to support an original act really that way. You know what I mean? So I'm going to have to tour a little. I'm going to have to tour. And with COVID, you know, you think it's going to ease up. You know, we all said a year ago, in a year, we all thought it was going to be open last summer, and it closed down again. You know what I mean? So the people in different states, different places, they're restricted. They're not restricted. They want you to have, now with the vaccines and everything, they want you to show proof of a vaccine. They want you to have a proof of a test and this, that, and the other. You have to plan these things in advance. And my band is located all over the place. Keyboard players in New York City, bass player and second guitar player in the Poconos. They're 6 hours away from me. My son's here. We had a phone call tonight. I got offered to headline a couple music festivals this summer, and I'm debating whether to do it or not because it's going to be monumental to put a band together to go up there to do it, you know? So I'm thinking about
it. Come down to Florida. We're an open state, free state. You can come play in the clubs or wherever you
like,
and the people would love it. You are amazing. And in fact, when I heard your voice the first time, I thought you were like an offshoot of Kim Carnes. You know, that raspy voice and deep bluesy sound, and I said, wow, amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
you're
welcome.
Go ahead.
It's all right. I
was going to answer the question, the Queen of Pittsburgh. When you did the Queen of Pittsburgh, you wrote that song. And what made you decide to write that song?
Well, actually, I wrote it with my producer, Dean Allen Sargent. And it's his title and his idea. We decided to do this album. He produced my first album in New York City 35 years ago, all right? So I ran into his wife on Facebook a few years back, and that's how we hooked up again. They were making a trip through Pennsylvania, and they stopped here, and we had lunch, and we you know, the first album was great, too. And so I said, hey, Dean, you know, I'm thinking of recording again. And he said, let's do it. And Dean was the first call recording engineer in New York City back in the day. So he's got tons of experience. He's been on many big albums and worked with a lot of big artists and things. So that's why the album sounds so great, because I'm able to take advantage of his wonderful experience. And he's an artist himself. I mean, his arranging, his singing, his songwriting, just wonderful. And we collaborate really well together and easily. And so they came to Pittsburgh, and we started doing some pre-production, and I needed more material for the album. And so we showed them around town, and I have this loft, like I was telling you, and we have a city view at night. It's gorgeous, and, you know, we see all the lights, and it's just really nice, and they could see how much we love Pittsburgh. So on his way back to the Poconos, I get a phone call, and he said, I got this idea for a song. If you want to do it, you want to use it for something, fine. If you don't, it's okay, but here it is. It's called Queen of Pittsburgh. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, at first I didn't want to do it at all because I thought, oh, the hate. You know, these bitches here, they're going to hate my guts. Now she thinks she's the queen of Pittsburgh. But if you know the song, then you know the lyrics are. I don't think I'm the queen of Pittsburgh. The song is, I'm not going to stop kicking ass until they make me the queen of Pittsburgh. And that's what the song's about. And it tells a little story about, you know, the history of the city is involved in it and things, and I think it speaks to my love of the city, you know. But, yeah, that was his idea. It wasn't mine. you know. And it's kind of a joke, the Queen of Pittsburgh. It's not the Queen of England. You know, who cares? You know what I mean? It's the Queen of Pittsburgh. It's like the Queen of Poughkeepsie. Nobody really cares. But unless you live in Pittsburgh. And we take our city very seriously, of course. So, but if anybody can be the Queen of Pittsburgh, it may as well be me. I'm going to be 70 this year. I'm still kicking ass. So, and I love Pittsburgh, so I'm happy to be the Queen of Pittsburgh if that's what they want to make me.
You know, I'll tell you, and it's a great song, and actually we have it, and I want to play it for you. Hold on a second.
Here.
You know, that was a great song. Excellent song.
Thank you.
And it's important because it tells the people to not to give up, to keep fighting, to be your dream.
Yes.
And that is a very important message to a lot of different people. And that's why...
That's, for me, it's one of the beautiful things about music, period, is that it's something that you have your entire life. And I'm living proof of it, you know.
That's key. You keep following your dreams, and that's important. And and what you're doing, and you are the queen of Pittsburgh.
And, I'm happy to be.
And I'll tell you, the musician, the drums, all the instruments and everything, it works. It's perfect.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you like it. That makes me happy. You made my night.
There you go. You know,
well,
and then you have
enough. All the instruments in tune. You know, and everybody has their own positioning and harmonizes together, and that's what makes it sound so great. So, did you write the score, the actual tune, or you wrote the lyrics?
On this particular song, I wrote most of the lyrics. Like I said, Dean wrote, I think, the first verse and the first chorus, and I wrote the rest of it. And he wrote the music. But the thing, as far as arranging it goes, when we sat down to play it, that shuffle, it's a shuffle. And the groove that I came up with for it is, I'm very proud of that drum part on that song. I am on all my songs, but this one in particular, it's a little unusual. It's not, when you hear that dun, 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 usually a drummer will lay their foot on that, boom, 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 the bass drum. And I played a more open bass drum part on it. It's unusual what I played. It's unique, but it drives the song, you know.
I thought the guitar riffs were neat, were different, with the two, with the different individuals playing it. And you can hear them each individually in the tune. And I thought that was unique.
Yeah, that's a product of great arranging now, isn't it? And that's, those are my guys. I mean, yeah, that's my husband, that's my son, and that's Dean on guitar, you know. And then the horns on it, you know, just kick it up a notch, right? But it's got that slow. It's got some swag, that song, you know. It's got that slow.
It sways.
Sexy.
It grooves.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long did it take? I'm sorry, Joe. How long did it take to record that tune? Just to ask.
Yeah, I mean, this album, we recorded it. It took a long time, actually, because we did all the basic tracks, all the drum tracks, and some of the guitar and some of the bass. We record together as a band. We record live. It's organic. So that's why we get a nice feel for everything. And we did that in a studio in Reading, a state-of-the-art studio. Spiro's Modern Music in Reading is where we did all the... Oh, this room, you wouldn't believe it. It's got like 40-foot ceilings. There's no 90-degree angles in it. It took them 2 years to build it. They don't build places like this. Studios aren't like this anymore, okay? People can't afford the real estate. But this fellow, Spiro Sidless, it was his studio. Dean Sargent and Michael Hennigan are my producers. And we co-produced it. I mean, my husband and I help produce too, but they're the real producers. And Dean helped design the studio, and he worked in it, and he found the studio. And it's Reading, PA, is one of the five biggest jazz festivals in the country. believe it or not. And when the heavy hitter jazz guys like Victor Wooten and people like that come into town, they go in there and record because it's such a beautiful. The acoustics, when you talk, when you start talking, when you go in this room, you stop because you know there's something special about the sound. So that's where we recorded the basic tracks, and then we did all kinds of overdubs all over the place, all different places. Michael Hennigan, my producer, has a portable recording company, and he so he has all that equipment. And then we mixed it and did some tracking at Soundmind Studios in East Stroudsburg, and that's where it was mixed and mastered. But for the most part, the song "Each Sleep Repeats" was mixed by recording engineer extraordinaire Tommy Uzo. He passed away a year ago, and my project was, I think, the last thing he actually worked on. And he's an old friend of Dino's from back in the day, but he's mixed people like Mary Jane Blige and Christina Aguilera and people like that. I mean, so he did all kinds of rap people too, because that's what he did for a living. He mixed albums. I couldn't afford him. He was Dean's friend. I mean, I did pay him, but not his going rate. I mean, he gets like 20, 30 grand to mix an album, and so
wow.
I didn't have a budget for that.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. No,
that leaves the blank.
I changed the question.
You said 40-foot ceiling. What makes that so important?
Well, it gives the sound a place to travel. It isn't bouncing off a wall in front. It isn't like recording in a small room, you know. It's like recording in an auditorium. You know, you get those acoustics. You know, you get it gives the instruments, especially an acoustic instrument like the drums, it gives it space to breathe, you know? I mean, I don't know how else to explain
like
it.
Like an echo?
Yeah. It gives it a bigger sound that way. You know, when you play in a church or like a cathedral or an auditorium, you know?
If you ever went to a concert in Madison Square Garden, and
sure.
I saw Queen there, and when Queen played their music, it echoed all off the walls and the ceiling and the floor, and you could feel it.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So,
I was at that concert.
Where are you? I love Queen. He's ready, man.
Next door to Madison Square Garden. I lived at 251 West 30th Street.
Yeah.
We looked out our window. It was called the Music Building.
Yeah.
And that's where I lived in New York City. And it was like, you know, we'd walk down the street and it would be like Queen's playing. We'd say, let's go, you know. So we'd just get tickets and go. Yeah, you know, so I saw everybody there, you know. And then my husband had a job where he was working for Steinberger Guitars, those modern headless basses at the time. Remember them? And he did all the artist relations. So, I mean, I was backstage 5 nights with him with Elton John at Madison Square Garden. We saw Genesis. I mean,
saw Bowie.
Ben Halen.
I saw Yes. On the roundabout, great music.
Oh, yeah. I saw Stevie Wonder, The Police, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, I saw some great concerts there. Yeah.
Well, you never know what happens in the future. You know, you're 70 and you're young. You know, you got a lot more time to put
hey,
in to do,
like
to develop funny. And create.
Mm-hmm.
We do have another song,
Evil Woman. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that song, that started when we had this little blues cover band. We had a singer out front, a guy, and he's married now, but he, at the time he was dating different girls, women, I mean. You know,
same thing.
They're full-grown women, you know.
No.
And this one woman, I guess she was more serious about him than he was about her, and then she started a whole Facebook feud, you know, like when he was dumping her or whatever happened, and I write some titles, and I wrote that song. I wrote the lyrics and the music. I wrote all of it. And,
That video reminded me of something, because I had a fight going back in the 80s. I had a fight with this girl I was with, and I got tired of her. So I went back and forth. So I did something. I took the hat off. And this one here dumped, I think, cheese or something on us on the competition. What I did was took a pitcher of beer and dumped it over her head. Something similar to MASH. But the thing is, it was kind of unique and brought back memories. And we have the song. I'll play it for you.
Oh, great.
Again, that's a great song, and instruments, and collaboration of all the instruments and everything, and the drums, and it is perfect.
Thank you.
Was that your sisters as the backup singers, or that was you doing it?
No, that's those are my producers, Dean and Mike. That's two guys.
Okay.
And they're great singers. I mean, they're artists in their own right, really. But and Dean has a very unique voice, you know. So I'm happy that he's willing to be in my band, you know. It didn't start that way, but after we started working on this album, Dean and Mike, you know, they believe in the whole project. You know, they're in 100%, and so they're like, "Yeah, we'll be in the band. You know, let's do it." You know, we're old friends. We're like family, and that makes.
So, what is it like, Teddy Brunetti in the band, or the band has a name?
No, the band doesn't have a name. It's Teddy Brunetti. And,
okay.
You know, we really haven't gigged, you know. This whole thing was done in the studio. I mean, but we've known each other for, like I say, 30, 40 years now. So it's not like it's, you know, and then my son's there with us and my husband. He's downstairs practicing. He's playing.
There you go.
I can hear him doing his scales right now, you know.
Okay.
So,
Can you tell listening audiences where to find you and how to reach you and see if we can get maybe some gigs coming up for you?
Yeah, that'd be great. You can find me. The best place is on my website, which is teddybrunetti.com. That's T-E-D-I, B like boy, R-U. NETTI.com, and there's a contact thing on there that you can get in touch with me, and I'm on all the social media, so please feel free to DM me or whatever, private message me or comment and message. I read everything, so comment, message me, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm in LinkedIn. I'm in, Twitter and Facebook. Most of my people are on Facebook because I'm a little older. But, I'm out there, and I love getting in touch with my social media people. So, I love that. I love people, and this has been such a great opportunity. I'm meeting so many wonderful people. Look, I'm getting to talk to you guys. You know what I mean? You're in Florida. It's beautiful.
I'll tell you, the radio show that we do is worldwide, and we get all kinds of different things from music and to all kinds of movies and everything else, plus the usual kind of stuff. You know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, like we had Nick Searcy this past weekend, and we do it twice a week. And now we got Leon Lee coming on Sunday, and he goes back and forth with different things. So, plus the usual stuff. And Mike does. I work with Mike a lot, so we get a lot of the his talents, and he has excellent talents.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working together on that because we've known each other for years. So that's how we do it. So it's a worldwide audience.
He's a wonderful guy.
And I want to thank you for coming on the show.
I want to thank you for having me.
And I would love to have you again. And if you decide to make another album or if you go on tour, let Mike know and he'll tell me and we'll just schedule off for another show so we can advertise and promote you.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. And it's been a ball talking to you guys.
I'll tell you, we're kind of in the New York area, kind of crisscrossed with each other. We probably passed each other back in the 70s and 80s and not know it.
Scarlett and I were at the same concert there.
I
lived in Brooklyn, but I worked in Manhattan, and in the evening, I love music, so I was a club person, because I'm 61 now, but in my 20s, I went to the clubs and went to concerts, and I loved hanging out in Central Park and the Village, and that's where I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Washington Square Park.
Yeah, and it's kind of similar with that when I was there with my friend, the one I told you about where I put the bill over her head. But her family's into singing and stuff like that, so mm-hmm. we kind of knew each other and stuff like that. So we all met in different areas. But I want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Teddy.
Like,
it was
my pleasure. Oh, I'm
you know, and
you
best
too.
Of
thank
everything
you.
With you and your family, and absolutely, you must come back so we can talk more about music and give you any marketing or promoting or advertising help. Love to do it.
I'll give Mike the replay of the show so I can send it to you for the advertisement. If you want.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I'll put it everywhere. Thank you very much. You guys
are you just
thanks.
Before you go, are you working on mm-hmm. another album?
I have some stuff I'm getting ready to I'm going to record again this year. Yeah. I'm going
okay,
to.
Great.
And I'm also going to do some more I'm going to do another music video, one for the song Queen of Pittsburgh. So that's going to be my next big thing. And then as I'm doing that, I'm going to start recording again, because I take my time because I can't, and you know, we think about what we're doing a lot, as you can tell.
Absolutely, when you rush it, you make mistakes, but when you work it slow, it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out perfect.
And I have my team now, so we're going to do that. We're going to start recording again. Absolutely.
Let us know when you get the video done, and we'll promote the video.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. Come on again, okay?
I would love to. I would love to. Thank you so much, you guys.
All right.
Have a
great
night, Teddy. Stay warm.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're going to get a ton of... Tomorrow night we're getting snow and ice.
Lucky you.
Right.
Down here we
just got cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you again. Bye bye.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Bye bye now.
Bye.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
That was Teddy Brunetti, and we had him on for 50 minutes, and that's a great thing. We played both songs and everything else.
Interesting, huh?
Yes,
the woman's been 60 years in the music business. Okay.
Yeah, coming
That's
on
amazing.
Sunday. Coming on. Yeah, we're running out of time, but coming on Sunday is Leon Lee, who just finished up and did a movie that just came out on the 31st called Silence.
It's in the
theaters as of the 31st of January, so you can go see it. I know, and David, there's a couple of theaters that David has. There's a few others. Just look it up in your local areas, because we are worldwide. So Leon Lee was talking about China, and what some people call it China. They tend to do what they're doing here in this country, a lot of silencing us and censoring us and torture and stuff like that. And you will see the movie. It's really important. And Leon Lee is the director of it, the movie. It's a war winner. And he'll be on this Sunday at 7 o'clock. Coming on in the near future is going to be Denise D'Souza in 2000. Reels are talking about stuffing the drop boxes and the illegal activities of the 2020 election factor out. And we also got coming up with Jamie Lee Curtis on the 20th with Gary, as well as Shadowproof with some of the ambassadors. And we're going to be talking about addiction. And we're doing that areas. Plus, we got a lot of musical guests and stuff like that in between. And we got some things coming on later on. But we got a special thing for Valentine's Day. Since our show is on Sunday, the 13th, we're going to do it then. We're asking people to call in with different messages for your loved ones. And it doesn't matter who you are. And if there's any songs, we'll play that if you can get them. And we'll have a lot of fun for this on the 13th. That's our Valentine's Day special. On the 9th, we're going to list, we're going to set up an open line day for people. We're going to discuss many different things because we haven't been doing that late, so we put that aside. And I believe on the 16th, we're going to have something going on too, but that's going to be a surprise special. So there are breaking news right now. The latest is that Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is expected to terminate for cause Sheriff, Broward County Sheriff, ESO Sheriff Tony, Gregory Tony, because he lied on an application and an affidavit where it is punishable for not only termination but perjury charges. And he is being extradited. There was extradition papers from Philadelphia who's charging him with first-degree murder on that 14-year-old since there's no statute on it. So there's a lot of things going on over there. And the new sheriff in Broward County is going to be a law and order person, it looks like. And things may be turning pretty good down there. But that's breaking news there. But if you notice, the radio show is more into entertainment and movies and exposing of different things and less of politics. But when we get closer to the primary season, you might get some political guests on. But we're not into it so much. And so I will agree with a certain individual, politics is a dirty game. Unless, you know,
and they don't always keep their word.
They don't always keep the word.
Yes,
and
it does, and they're going to do this, this, and this, and then they don't do it.
And
so,
when they get into office, they turn their back on you. We know Debbie Washington has done, and then a bunch of others have done. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Right.
And that's what's happening.
It's just the title, just the seed, but you lose your credibility and your integrity
because
you're a sellout.
And the other thing with is that the next few weeks you're going to hear more and more about right to life. Yes, it's a woman's body, but once a woman is pregnant, it's no longer her body.
You shouldn't use it as a form of contraception.
There are literally two people in that body, so it's no longer her body, and the person in there along with the baby has to have a voice too, and since they can't speak up for themselves, we are speaking up for them, and they are the voices that are now going to be the voice. And don't forget, Canada, the truckers, they literally went hundreds of thousands of truckers around Canada, from Saskatchewan all the way to Ottawa and around, literally chased Trudeau out of the parliament. And
you gotta come down to Florida.
And he's done. He used the line that he's got COVID. No, you don't. He's in exile somewhere. And those truckers, and now there's a trucker caravan coming from California and joining the rest of the truckers around the country. It's going through the same for Comrade Biden or the communists. But with breaking news of late, with not only Denise D'Souza's movie, but Mike Lindell stuff, and the fact that 5 states now decertifying, or about to decertify, and the Supreme Court now announced that they are decertifying 2020. Trump will be in the White House probably in the next few days to a couple of weeks. It's almost a done deal. A lot of
Joe and the hoe will be gone.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi, is indicted, and he's going to prison for a long time. And
Merrick Garland's son will be indicted. They're all going to get indicted. They're all going to get what they deserve.
Anyway, we're ending with that note. Don't forget, on Sunday, Leon Lee and Unsilenced. It's going to be an excellent show. We're going to keep him on for as long as we can.
And my last thought is, cheaters never win. They look like they win, but they never win, because in the end, the truth does come out, and they get what they deserve. So in my suggestion to people, be honest. have integrity. Do it truthfully. Because in the end, you'll be better, and you'll be a better role model for the next generations. And this is Scarlett Butler signing off and saying, have a great week, and I'll be back Sunday. And take care all, and God bless America.
God bless you all, and see you Sunday. Big night. Leon Lee and Unsigned.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't